What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Schadenfreude, everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero. A little pushy-pushy. Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice? Now, those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello. From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. And more news. Is it good? It is not. Kurt Kriisa suspended for the first nine games of the 2023-2024 season. He received impermissible benefits. And Arizona's on record saying they didn't do anything wrong. And WVU saying they didn't do anything wrong. And yet Kerr cannot play basketball for the first nine games of the season. So that leaves and a cook. Has not been cleared medically. He's being monitored. So for Monday's home opener versus Missouri State, they have eight guys available, the Mountaineers. Eight scholarship guys, and Ollie can play. So technically nine. Be shocked if Ollie makes the court. And so given the circumstances from May to the week before the season opener, I don't have a prediction for this team. Battle. May or may not play, not looking good. A cook may or may not play. Don't know what the outlook is there, but we all saw what happened on Friday night, and that was scary. This team has no expectations, no expectations. Like, I'm a big fan of low expectations and exceeding those. No expectations, given the events from May to this week. Most of them on the negative side. And Josh Eilert and the coaching staff and the guys playing this season, they've got expectations for themselves. The coaching staff have to prove themselves. They're interim. This is their chance to prove that they can get these jobs long-term with the Mountaineers. So they're not afforded like all this has happened, and then they've still got to go out and perform well enough to keep their jobs. And that stinks, given the circumstances. But Eilert is saying the right things. They're not making excuses. They're not holding their heads low, that they're going to go for it. I don't have a prediction. I want to see that manifested on the court. What a great story it would be if this team. You can't go lower than no expectations. So I think they're going to exceed expectations. That's which is zero. They're going to exceed that. I want this season to be memorable. That's what I want in a good way. Remember everything leading up to that season, and then look what they did that season. That's what I want to say at the end of the year. Am I going to be able to do that? We're going to find out. But to try to make sense of everything and looking forward, I brought on annual guest Mike Kazaza from earsports.com, 24/7 podcast covering the Mountaineers. Always a pleasure to talk to Mike to get his insights on the upcoming season. Here's my interview with Mike. All right, Mike Kazaza, welcome back to Full Benefit, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
So this is the real name now. It's not like a play on extra benefits or impermissible benefits. This is the name of the podcast now. It's not a joke or gag on me, right?
I don't want to answer that. There are a lot of benefits. And let's start there. Well, let's not start with benefits. No, it's not the real name of the podcast. Okay, definitely okay. A bit.
Okay.
So that's the mantra for Josh Eilert with, let's just say, all of the events that have happened between May and now. And I'll start with the first domino, Bob Huggins, in the Coliseum for the exhibition game Friday. This is not your question to answer, but your opinion. Bob Huggins in the building Friday and this season, supporting presence or hovering cloud or both?
I think it's a little bit of each. And I'm not sure that he intends to do one or the other. And I'm not even sure that he's mindful of the appearances. I'll tell you this, Josh, like I mean, the questions have been asked a couple of times in different capacities when it's been Ren Baker, even Josh Eilert, like, hey, what relationship would you like to have with Bob Huggins in the future? Remember, this is a place that was going to like put his name on the court. He was going to be the public figure for the Cancer Institute. And things have obviously changed in that regard. But everybody kind of said, when the time is right, you know, let's get to a spot where we can make it work. Let's bring him back in the fold. There was never a no. It wasn't even a not now. It was just like it was an undetermined answer to the question. But you'll notice that charity exhibition was for the Children's Hospital. It was not for the Norma Rae Huggins. Google Norma Rae Huggins Cancer Foundation and see where that is now. I'll let you do that while I continue talking, right?
Okay. Interactive. Yeah, I'll react in the moment. All right, go ahead.
A little cliffhanger while I continue on here. So I wondered, you know, if they would bring him back because maybe they do put the name on the court. Maybe he continues to do really good stuff. Maybe there just comes to the point where like, this is stupid. Let's bury the hatchet and everybody gets together and this year, next year, whatever. But I was like, I wonder if or when they'll bring him back. I wonder if he'll show up for a game this year. I wonder if he'll be invited to come see them play, you know, whomever, Cincinnati, Kansas, whatever. Just was curious before, after the schedule came out. And he's there for an exhibition game. I don't think anybody needs to grant Bob Huggins permission to use a friend's tickets to come to a game or an exhibition game. I'm not saying that he needs to give West Virginia a heads up. I just thought it was odd that people were texting me, like people, Josh, were texting me going, is this true? Because they sent me like the tweet. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking right at him. Or like, I text people, hey, were you aware of this? Nope, wasn't aware of it. Does that mean that like everybody at the school didn't know? No, but the people I talked to, I rely on information, didn't know he was going to be there. So that was strange to me. That's it. Like, he's really tight with Josh. These first three games of the season, he was going to be Huggins' replacement when Huggins was suspended. And that was by Huggins' decree. He brought Josh with him from Kansas State. He developed him as a video coordinator into a director of operations and gave him his break as an assistant coach. Like, there's absolutely a bond there. But he wasn't, like, in Josh Eilert's seats. He wasn't behind the bench. He wasn't in, like, the WVU envoy. So that was unusual to me. But again, you're telling Bob Huggins that he can or can't come to a game. I don't know what to make of that. I really don't. I just know what I've heard before in the aftermath of the resignation/retirement. I know the things I still hear now. I know what I anticipate to be at least a storyline in March or April. I don't think this is going away anytime soon. I just think that was an interesting way to start things. Now, have you finished your homework assignment?
I have. And it's not totally shocking, but definitely there is still a website for the endowment fund that is now partnering not with WVU, with another hospital entity in the state.
Curious. I don't know. That's a strange thing. It was going so well before. It wasn't broke. I don't know. Perhaps there's some logical reason to switch it to the place they're at that he has it at now. I don't know. But that's one of those things that just you look at now and you go, that's strange. And you see him at a game really, really early, like Huggins is kind of like, I shouldn't say famous, but like he'd be doing all of his last minute stuff over the practice facility before a game. And he'd be hustling in like an hour before tip My man was there like 90 minutes, 2 hours before the game the other night, just hanging out, taking pictures. And to his credit, man, everybody who came over, warm reception or a picture or a conversation or a hug. I mean, he still obviously is a very big figure who means a lot to people here. And, you know, part of me can say, this is so strange. They shouldn't have done this. And part of me can say, like, you know what? This is how you get back to normal. You know, you tear that Band-Aid off and just say, listen, this needs to be right. Let's make it right. And if that's the first step, that's great, too.
It's weird. And it's just going to happen no matter when that starts being weird. But it is a first step. I don't know the answer either, Mike. And I don't know what to make of that other than that's another weird thing that has to be addressed. And it has been addressed in regards to the normal Ray Huggins fund. Here's another weird question using 2019 football terminology.
Oh, God.
Can an interim head coach in basketball have a year zero?
Now, you're doing this on purpose to me, right?
Correct.
Okay. No, because this is
you
his
life, right? No, but this is it. You don't get a year zero.
It's the audition. You know, you go to audition for a play or a movie or interview for a job, and you don't get to like do it over and start again. And like, hey, can we try that back? No, I saw what I needed to see in this expanded time for you too. Like, do you ever watch I Think You Should Leave?
I have.
The first skit where they do the job interview and he gets up and he pulls the door, but it's actually a push, right? And the guy that interviews him goes, oh, it's a push. And Tim Robinson goes, actually, it does both. And he continues to pull the door until it comes off the hinge. That's because you can't start over. Like, you don't get to, like, can we do this again? Did this not happen? No, everything happens. And I don't know what the win-loss record is going to be at the end. The people that I speak with that are you know, periphery or in the core of this thing could not be more impressed with what he's done so far. And, you know, similar to Brown right now, I don't know what at the end of this process you would have to yet learn about the coach and his capacities. If Josh can navigate this and get this team NCAA tournament or on the bubble, or whatever, he's going to have shown you so much in the presence of so much that what could you sit down with the search committee and say, hey, can he do this? Is he capable of this? Like, he's slowly going to cross off every one of those items. And a lot of the ones that you might struggle to answer, like a lot of those interview questions that you might struggle to answer, he's getting those out of the way right now. And that's not what he wants to do. It's what he has to do right now. And that's going to go a long way toward a decision that Rem Baker ultimately makes.
And that makes sense. And I'm asking a year zero question, obviously, because of where the program finds itself. You're going into opening night with, unless we hear something on Raekwon Battle, and unless we hear different news, I think it's been determined today that Akook is out for Monday. Mm-hmm. So going into Monday's game, you have Bembry, Seth, Kobe, Offrey, Josiah, Edwards, Sumnick, and Slezinski. That's 8 scholarship players available. Creasa out, Battle TBD, Akook TBD. What, with all of that around him, what
Farrakhan, Farrakhan has to sit out too.
And Farrakhan is a scholarship player, but he's not playing this year. So you've got 8 that can play on Monday, and 8, and let's be optimistic and say 10 within the first 9 games. What can WBU's record be during Creasa's 9-game suspension going to UMass? What record can they have where they can feel hopeful? Not for NCAA tournament, but any kind of postseason prospects. I've got 6-3 in my head, but give me your thoughts. Is there a record, or is it doesn't matter? Let's get past that and just keep moving.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of hope first. West Virginia has to turn in those. Basically, when you work on an appeal, there are weekly Tuesday deadlines. And so when they found out last, I think Monday, right? They weren't going to hurry an appeal, even if they were close to finish, or maybe they should have had a finish. But they were not yet ready, but they're going to turn in the next day. They turned it in time for the Tuesday deadline of this week. Why do they have weekly deadlines? Probably because they have like weekly adjudications. And just by looking at when they initially declined Battle's waiver, when I look back at some stories about other waivers that were declined, whether it's West Virginia or at large, a lot of them have Monday dates. I wonder if they don't know something about Battle by Monday. hypothesizing there. And then how that's going to go, I'm not confident in that just for what I've known about this all along, what I've kind of said. I mean, 50-50 is obviously the truth. It's going to happen or it doesn't. Now we know it's probably not quite 50-50 because this is like overturning a play in football, an instant replay, right? You're going to have indisputable evidence now to really overturn this. And you're going into people who are compliance employees at different conferences and universities, not NCAA people. So they're going to look at this through a particular lens. Just not confident there, but it could be great news for a program that is certainly in need of. To your point about the win-loss record, it's really good because there are games that you look at and you go, man, they really need to beat, like, you know, just like some of the power names on there. Could be Wisconsin, Virginia. Could be Pitt, could be St. John's. I don't know about that. If you lose those games, that's okay. It's not great, but like you're bound to lose sometimes a game against a good opponent. They cannot lose to nobodies. And that's what would really hurt. So if they go 6-3, but they lose to Missouri State, Bellarmine, and Jacksonville State, something like that, they went 6-3, but they had three horrendous losses. You know, if they go 7-2, but they lose two home games to bad teams, that hurts. So it's a sliding scale here a little bit, and this is not a cop-out answer, but, you know, I think they probably need to go at least 1-1 in Fort Myers to feel good about that. And then, you know, who do they lose to at home is going to be a big deal. They probably would want to start 3-0 on the three-game homestand because those are not good opponents. I think Missouri State will be kind of frisky. Can't say much about the other two so far. And then go 1-1. So now if you're 4-1, all right, good. You can get your feet beneath you. Maybe you know something about battle by then. Who knows? But again, like the number is one thing. But I think like avoiding home losses to these nobody teams or these mid-major or low-major teams, that's what's going to be powerful because sure, they'll look back and say, you know, lost to, again, hypothetical, they lost to Jacksonville State. Well, they had nobody. They had eight guys, right? So will they remember that? Will they not? But it still kills your RPI and all that stuff too. So, you know, certainly avoiding some landmines to be good. But the trouble is, like, they're all landmines at this point right now because the margin might already be so thin that losses are just going to hurt you that much.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Agreed. And I'm taking it from 1-1 in Fort Myers, split the Pitt and St. John's, and then cannot lose against the others. And then you kind of go from there. And so with the short staff, obviously, and what we saw Friday defensively, this is a hypothetical, but it's got to come. What do you think will be the first zone defense we'll see from WVU? And I'm assuming we're going to see it Monday night.
Yeah, probably already happened because they're just not going to let a lot of light into what's going on with like Creesa and things like that. So they're zoning us out on some of the public information there. So maybe they're already kind of they're good at the deception and the sleight of hand, but they're going to have to. They're going to have to play zone. And then I just wonder about, like, would a 1-3-1 be smart and just hide Kobe under the basket? Because suddenly he's a guy that's, you know, he shouldn't be cast in this role right now, but he's going to be in that role for 9 games. So, like, could they do 1-3-1? It's going to require, like, 1-3-1's not exactly, like, I know zones are kind of passive, but, like, 1-3-1's not really a passive zone. You're really jumping around and moving and extending yourself a little bit, too. It's not like a 2-3 where you just kind of rotate. You know, those some 2-3s can be active. But can you keep Kobe away from the ball and ball screens up top? But then the trouble is you're putting another guard there. So now you're striking your depth at your other position that isn't very deep. So that could be difficult. I do think about that. I wonder about, you know, can they play 1-3-1 and keep Kobe, like, under the basket where, then, you know, and is he smart enough to not rebound? Okay, can he let Slezinski and Harris or Edwards and Harris or some combination of forwards do that and he can box out? That might be a way to protect him and keep him on the floor. I just think that, like, what I've seen about their defense, and Eilert does say that he wants to maintain a lot of Huggins principles. I would assume that's probably man-to-man stuff, because what Huggins does on defense is studied and copied by a lot of people. But a lot of that stuff, too, where, you know, force the ball to one half and keep it over there, you can do that in, like, a matchup, a point drop or something like that. So that could be like a 2-3 form. I think you'll probably see, that's my guess here, you'll see them do a lot of 2-3 stuff where the ball gets confined and you jump on the ball when it enters your zone and you play that way. But I would certainly give some thought to a 1-3-1 and kind of being one. You probably see multiple zones, in my guess, but I would wonder about a 1-3-1. And you got some guys who played 1-3-1 too that are on the coaching staff and know how to do it, and just find a way to protect, hide, whatever, Kobe.
And we're hiding Kobe, and I agree. And on the back line, you know, you're sprinting to the corners, so it's not passive at all. But how to protect him? And we're talking about protecting him, Mike, because Jeremiah Bembry, DNP in the exhibition. What's your guess on why he didn't log minutes in the charity exhibition, and why we're not factoring him in as part of the equation, where it screams, you only have 7 guys at the current status without Jeremiah. What's his fit in your estimation going to be with this season's team?
Yeah, when you do something like this, when you have an issue like this, it's like football, Josh. People look at, like, oh, they lost their linebacker, starting linebacker. They did. They also lost their backup linebacker. Because the backup becomes a starter, so now you're replacing a starter with the backup, and you're replacing a backup with a guy who didn't play. So now you're replacing Kerr with Kobe Johnson, and you're replacing Kobe Johnson with Jeremiah Bembry. So you're really replacing 2 and just using 1. So it's a weird math, but you think about it that way, you start to understand, like, how profound this is at different spots, because now they've lost, you know, whether it's by transfer or ineligibility, it's multiple people, which means a multiple link in the chain there too. So he's going to have to play, though. You're not, like, you can do stuff and you can get away with half courts where, like, all right, Quinn Slezinski seems smart. Could he be point forward for us? Could Seth Wilson, you know, break some pressure, or could he take the ball off the court and give the point guard a break? You can do that situation. That's more bug than feature, you know? That's your way around some fatigue issues, or get to a timeout, or let your guy get a breath. That's not going to be how they run it. So they're going to need point guards, and they have 2. And 1's not really a point guard, and 1 has never bounced a ball in a college basketball game. That's concerning. So, like, can Kobe Johnson do it? That's fine. But if he does get tired, which is human nature, if he does get in foul trouble, which is maybe to be expected, or forgiven at least, but you go with a guy like Bembry, who is probably looks like a 2 guard, but has the 1 guard pedigree, just hasn't played. Did play in the exhibition, the secret scrimmage, I guess, against, as I saw on Twitter that you reported.
You reported. Well, but you didn't, does that count as a report?
It's a secret. It's a secret.
I don't know. We're dealing in, yes, we're dealing in the shadows here. But yes.
So Vanderbilt, he did play, and they kind of like what he did. How he doesn't get in that game, I don't know. But, you know, he's not part of the plan, would be my read there. And at that point, they were trying to not lose an exhibition game against George Mason, which is a team that has a ton of transfers and a first-year head coach, a plight that's not too different from West Virginia's. And I think they just shortened things up, and they went to their good guys and the people they trust that can do the things they know the best and the most. And that's what they did, which means he does not factor into that. That's going to have to change pretty quick. Did ask Eilert about that when we talked to him on Thursday, and said, you know, if there's foul trouble, if you got to get Kobe out, yeah, I'm probably going to go with Bembry. Not absolutely, not definitely, but probably going to go with Bembry. But again, like, if not, who? And then that's fine. All right, you put Seth Wilson in. That's your starting 2. who plays.
It's a numbers game. That's right. It is. It's a numbers game where you got to figure that out. And I can't imagine Jeremiah not. That is a tepid response by Coach Eilert. Jeremiah. Yeah.
Could that be me reading into that? I mean, the answer is probably not. Probably. It's probably, you know, I don't know, reluctantly, assuredly, confidently. I'm not sure. There's probably a better word to put there. And I don't want to parse that too much. But like, I just don't see a way around where he's not getting you, you know, 6 minutes a half right now, which is crazy when you think about it, because we haven't seen him and don't know much about him.
But this is where we're at, and this is where he has to factor in. So we'll wrap up, Mike, with some rapid fire. I'm going to call this the confidence survey.
All right.
One least confident, 10 most confident. Give me your number. Raekwon Battle plays for WVU in the 2023-2024 season.
Mike, a 7.5.
Okay. Raekwon Battle plays for WVU ever.
Oh, 10.
I've got Jose Perez in my mind on that one, and that's unfair to Raekwon, but it's that's something that happened here.
He's got a year left, so if he doesn't get it this year, I don't know that he leaves. He's not an NBA player right now, so does he have a year where he could do it? Sure. I just realized I said 7.5, and I said I wasn't confident for him getting cleared. Can I lower that number?
Drop it, yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, part of me is like, I just think that they deserve something good to happen or something will happen. But that's not how this works. So if I revise that number in my head, I'm just not confident about it. I probably put it at the 5, which is in the middle. But, you know, it probably depends on how I feel. It could be a 4, it could be a 6, but give me a 5.
OK. Bob Huggins is a podcaster during the 2024-2025 college basketball season.
1.
I agree with that. WVU plays in a postseason tournament at the end of this season. Not the NCAA specifically, any postseason tournament in 23-24.
Yeah, here's the good one, because I have not yet sat down and figured out how the new NIT works. Like, that's a mess. I got to figure that one out.
It's wild. It is. Less mid-majors in theory. So, yeah, I don't know the specifics talking to you right now about it, but they definitely changed it, not for the betterment of non-Power 6 schools.
So my read on that would be that they're already letting some sub-500 teams in from the Power 5 or the Power whatever, major conferences, and now that seems like it's more friendly to the major conferences, so there's a greater chance that they get scooped up. But if you look at this roster, there's no way you're devoting home games and payouts for CBI games, so you lose that a little bit. I'm not sure it's an NCAA tournament team. So I would probably go on this one. I'd probably put this at like a 6.
Okay. Kansas is the Big 12 regular season champion for 2023-2024.
About a 9 there. I'd like that. Who's number 2? Houston's good.
Yeah, it's a mix, right? Because Houston in theory, but Houston joining the Big 12, that rarely does that. Now, Houston would be the team that could do it, given they picked up Cryer and what they have annually, but that move to the Big 12 doesn't assure them second. Baylor is based on talent, and Texas, new coach, and a lot of turnover. And so there's like 2 through 5 TCU kind of sneaky there, Kansas State. So it's like a big glob that could be 2 within my head, Kansas above that. Of course, Bill Self is not thrilled with the 2 exhibition games, and they lost to Illinois, but I have a feeling with that roster, they can figure that out.
You know, they have kind of a hole in their backcourt, too, because they were relying on Arterio Morris to play a bunch. And that's a guy that was a major recruit when he went to Texas and has never clicked there. And then he left, and Texas didn't seem too upset about that. And then obviously he's gotten some significant trouble since then. And now, like, that's a guy who might have played or played a lot. And now, you know, Kansas runs like cold and hot. They're either very deep or they don't have any depth. And like, this seems like a team that's probably going to have a great top 6 or 7. And I don't know, there might be some guys like that you look at and go, how was that guy killing me on this night? Like, how is it? Because he's just a part of the system and he's developed. So watch out for them. It's just finding their ways. But that might be a team that loses some early. You know, like, we've seen some exhibitions, whatever. But I'm going to assume they play a tough non-conference schedule. They might look bad on one night or two nights. But also, because their firepower is so heavy up top, they might boat race some teams early on and look really good, too.
9 for Kansas. All right, final 2 questions. They're Coach Eilert questions. Confidence survey. Josh Eilert is the head coach for WVU after this season.
Yeah, probably about a 4 there, just because this is more of a – I think it's going to be very hard for him to do it at a level that impresses everybody, but also makes it easy for Rem Baker to say, like, we got to do this, because this might not be Odlard's fault necessarily. I mean, it absolutely isn't, but just look at what Rem Baker's done so far. And this isn't like a Baker thing, but did not move on Brown when there was a lot of momentum to move on Brown. Hired a women's basketball coach that he knew, which is maybe a good hire. Did not get to really pull any of the levers on the search for a baseball coach. And now when he wanted to go out and, like, they talked to big names for the basketball job, and it just didn't work out because it wasn't, no, it was not now. Well, when? 2 years from now? 5 years from now? Because if you commit to either, you can't do a 2-year deal. You're going to give him many, many years. But I just wonder if that's a bridge that Baker does not want to cross, because maybe he wants to do something to really be proactive about how he shapes the athletic department. And you've seen some major jobs change hands already, or he hasn't had a chance to change the jobs, but I don't think he's gotten a chance to really manipulate things the way that he wants in the direction that he wants. And this is going to be sitting there for him on a tee to do something that may be a good story for Josh Eilert, and he might be extremely capable, but it might be really hard for him to do what he has to do, which means involve so many other people, and not look outside and say, you know what, we had all these names before and we decided to come back to Josh. We can't ignore that now. So it's a circumstantial thing too, but I don't think that works in Josh's favor.
Yeah. And so that leads me to a final question. Josh Eilert is a not interim head coach ever. Survey.
That's the thing too. Like, I really hope that other ADs are watching now, or like this was part of the dossier, because could he be like a group of five coach, or, you know, eventually a power five coach? Absolutely too. I think he's going to learn this year about what it takes, and he's going to get a lot of fans and a lot of support in the community of coaching. Maybe not in the stands or Mountaineer Nation or whatever like that. Maybe I'm wrong there. I think he's a likable guy with a great story to tell that hopefully one day he gets to tell. But right now, all the stories are about what's happening above him and beneath him, right? The roof is caving in and the floor is crumbling. And how does he maintain? I mean, he says he's riding a boogie board all the time too. But like, I think just anecdotally, like, I don't think people realize he lived on like an Indian reservation for 2 years. And that's part of the connection with the Raekwon Battle cases, because maybe this guy can actually help someone who lived in an Indian reservation live far away from an Indian reservation and maybe supplement some of that lifestyle. Takes one to know one, right? But like, I don't know how many people know that or the circumstances of it too. So there's a lot to his story. And then, by the way, I think he's going to be an effective recruiter. He's put a good staff together for this situation, but it's also a guy who has a lot of contacts. And I think he could go to different parts of the country or different conferences and find, I'm not saying he's going to bring McCabe and Ruoff and Butler with him, but he could find people who profile like that in that program or in that conference or in that basketball community. I just think he's going to be good at the job. I'm just not sure that it's this job. And I hope that makes sense. It doesn't come across like an insult. I just think it's going to be very hard for him to get through and to end up where he wants to end up.
He's been dealt a tough hand, but there's no excuses, full benefit. So, Mike, appreciate you making your annual visit.
By the way, full benefit's a great shot, isn't it? Like, I know it's the Navy SEAL thing, and like the tweet came out after the extra benefit news came out, right? Am I wrong there?
No, I think that you've got the right chain of events.
I like it. So kudos to him. Maybe I should change my tenor on that. Maybe he does deserve the job, because if you slap around the NCAA a little bit, more power to you.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks for joining me on Full Benefit, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Thanks a lot, Josh. I appreciate it.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com to read about WVU sports from a fan's perspective. Listen to another podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella, West by Pod, about WVU football. Jordan and Joel break it down every week. BYU's coming to town to play some football. West Virginia's trying to get bowl eligible with the win over the Cougars. West Virginia just got another Big 12 road victory. Check that podcast out. Follow Smoking Musket on X at Smoking Musket. Do all that. Smoking Musket.
Big thanks to Mike for joining me on the podcast. Read his stuff on earsports.com. Listen to Country Roads Confidential. West Virginia opens the season Monday, November 6th at home, 7 p.m. Coliseum, ESPN Plus versus Missouri State. What do I know about Missouri State? Lamont West went there for his last college season.
That's it. They were picked sixth in the Missouri Valley Conference preseason poll. The rare sixth place with one first place vote. A bunch of votes for Drake, a bunch of votes for Northern Iowa. Skip a few spots. Sixth place Missouri State with one first place vote. Donovan Clay, 6'8 forward. He's on the first team. They played super slow last year under Dana Ford. And the year before that, they played super slow. So expect a slow pace from Missouri State. And that's all the expectations I have. I am super excited to see. I am. Are you excited? The season ticket sales are going really well. This is the totally different feeling of any other feeling going into a season. There's so much unknown and so much adversity to overcome. Can they do it? We're going to find out together, and it starts Monday. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU, under Coach Josh Eilert for the 2023-2024 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.